Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to plunge into some fascinating sources and pull out the key insights for you. Today, we're going back, way back, actually. We're looking at some ancient wisdom from a really powerful text, Psalm 2. Our mission, really, is to unpack the scripture, see what its core message is, and, importantly, how it speaks to us today. You know, how it might offer guidance, maybe encourage obedience, and even strengthen faith in our modern world.
It's a fantastic text to dive into. Psalm 2, it's what scholars call a royal psalm. So it talks about a king's reign, but it's pointing beyond just an earthly king. It hints at something much bigger, a divine kingship, which is, you know, crucial for understanding its sort of prophetic feel. It sets up this incredible cosmic drama right away. You get this clash, this tension between rebellion and divine authority, God's ultimate rule through his chosen king. It's vivid.
Right. And that tension, it kicks off with a really pointed question, doesn't it? The first verses ask, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And then it escalates. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. They're basically saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What exactly is being described here?
Exactly. And that term heathen, in older translations, it means the nations, Gentiles, everyone outside Israel, really. And they're united, but it's futile, this opposition. So it immediately sets up this picture of a global coordinated rebellion, almost theatrical, you could say, earthly powers against the divine. And it points to something deep in us, doesn't it? That human tendency, not just to mess up, but to actively resist, to try and, well, dethrone any authority we feel limits us.
Yeah.
We see that same dynamic today, you know, in politics, even in our personal life. It's surprisingly relevant.
It really is a very intense, unified kind of opposition. Okay, so how does heaven respond to this defiance?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. God's reaction isn't what you might expect. It's not panic or fear. The psalm says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision.
Yeah.
Yes, laugh. It's this incredible image of divine confidence, maybe even like amusement at how pointless their plotting is. It's not a mean laugh, but it shows his absolute control. True power isn't threatened by this.
Mm.
And then God speaks. He declares his authority. He says, he has set his king upon my holy hill of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And he issues this decree to the king. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. This anointed one, that's the Messiah in Hebrew, God's chosen consecrated king, his representative ruler on earth.
Wow. Okay, so from that divine appointment, the psalm then describes the king's power and his inheritance. It sounds formidable.
Extremely formidable. The text goes on, God says to the son, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then this imagery. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
A rod of iron? Dashing them like pottery. That's stark.
It is dark. It's imagery of absolute dominion, no question. Now, we should remember the context. Ancient Near Eastern kings used this kind of language to show supreme authority. Here it's elevated, showing God's ultimate justice and rule. Cosmic level stuff.
Okay, that context helps. But then there's a shift, right? After all that power talk, it moves towards a warning and an invitation.
Exactly, like a crucial shift. It turns to those very kings and rulers who were just plotting rebellion. It says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth.
So it's an appeal to reason almost.
Yes. And then the core instruction. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And then the symbolic act, kiss the son. It's about submission, showing reverence, acknowledging who's truly in charge. It's not just about dodging wrath. It's about wisdom, aligning with reality.
Serve with fear, rejoice with trembling. That's quite a pairing. And then the kiss the son as submission. But it doesn't end just on a warning note, does it? There's a promise, too.
Absolutely. And this is the beautiful counterpoint. It concludes, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So after the rebellion, the judgment, the warning, there's this open door. Trust leads to blessing, to security, to peace.
It beautifully balances the whole picture. Judgment and grace side by side.
Precisely. And from that balance, we can pull out some really powerful, timeless wisdom. Key takeaways, if you will.
Okay, what are they?
Well, first, human rebellion, pushing against God. It's nothing new. Power structures, individuals, we've always tried to declare independence. Psalm 2 shows it's ultimately futile.
Right. Old story.
Second, God is sovereign. No matter how chaotic things seem down here, he's in control. He's not threatened. He's not worried. Remember the laughter.
Mm-hmm. That divine confidence.
Third, God has a plan and a specific person to carry it out. His anointed, his son, his king, ruling with divine authority and justice. Fourth, reverence is key. True wisdom isn't just knowing things, it's recognizing God's power and submitting humbly. Fear and trembling, but also joy. And finally, there's safety and trust. Putting your confidence in God's chosen one, the Son, leads to blessing. It's the path to security.
That's a great summary of the core wisdom here. So let's unpack that now for today. How does this ancient psalm actually, you know, speak into our lives right now? How can it encourage obedience, strengthen our faith?
Oh, it speaks volumes. Think about today's world. Political polarization,
right? Yeah.
Intense conflict, or even just the pervasive individualism, that resistance to any external authority, government, bosses, even moral standards.
Yeah, you see it everywhere.
Psalm 2 basically says, look, this resistance to God's design, whether it's big societal stuff or personal pride, it's always been there.
Mm.
And it always ends in futility. Recognizing that isn't about being passive. It's about making a wise, liberating choice to align with how things really are, with God's rule. That naturally encourages a kind of humble obedience.
That perspective shift is powerful. But, you know, when things feel genuinely chaotic, injustice, war, moral confusion, how does saying God's on the throne become more than just a phrase? How does it help practically?
It becomes an anchor. It truly does. Sure. When everything feels like it's spinning out of control, Psalm 2 is this bedrock truth. God is not shaken. He is still ruling. Holding on to that can genuinely anchor your peace. It strengthens faith because you know the ultimate outcome isn't in doubt because he is sovereign.
So it provides stability in the storm.
Exactly. And it also reframes how we interact with earthly authority. We're told to be wise, to engage respectfully with leaders in government, at work, and families. But Psalm 2 reminds us that no human leader holds ultimate authority. God does. Keeping that distinction clear helps us understand true obedience to God first.
That's a critical distinction. Okay, and what about that phrase, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling? It sounds almost contradictory. How do we apply that today?
It does sound paradoxical, doesn't it? But it's this beautiful invitation to hold two seemingly opposite things together. Deep reverence, awe, that's the fear and trembling part, and genuine delight, joy. Modern spirituality sometimes leans too much one way or the other, maybe too casual, or maybe too rigid and joyless. This song calls for both. Embracing that tension deepens worship, makes faith more whole, more vibrant.
Awe and joy together. I like that.
And then the final instruction, kiss the Son. For Christians, this points directly to Jesus Christ. It's a call for personal surrender, personal allegiance. Not force, not primarily out of fear of the rod of iron, but out of wisdom. Because as the psalm ends, there's blessing, there's refuge, there's safety in trusting him. And that act of trust, that submission, is incredibly powerful for strengthening faith and encouraging a life lived in obedience to him.
So it connects directly to personal faith in action.
Absolutely. Psalm 2 kind of pulls back the curtain on reality. It shows us the bigger picture behind the daily headlines and struggles. Despite all the earthly chaos, the message is God is ruling, Christ is reigning, and we get to choose. Will it be submission leading to blessing or rebellion leading to futility? Trust or turmoil? It invites us into God's plan.
A powerful choice laid out clearly. Okay, that brings us to our final thought for you, the listener. Thinking about your own life, your own challenges right now, how can embracing this idea of God's ultimate sovereignty, his unshaken rule, actually help you navigate those modern challenges with maybe a greater sense of peace and a clearer purpose?